people loved the idea. And a lot of our partners were like, oh, you know, we work in this river, but our constituents aren't going out and recreating on the river. They're not connecting to the river. So by doing a cleanup or by doing a community paddle day, you know, all of a sudden they had a means to connect their constituents more to the river and see the river that they're actually, you know, donating to protect or working to conserve. And so it was really nice to be able to bring that together and inspire other organizations to then sort of carry on some of that, you know, adventure work.
The Life in Motion podcast is brought to you by Actual Outdoors. They help build beautiful brands that highlight the approachable and authentic parts of outdoor recreation. Said simply, they keep it real. Learn more at actualoutdoors.com.
This is a Life in Motion audio experience, a podcast about travel, action sports, culture, and more.
What's up, and welcome to episode 154 of Life in Motion. I've got a familiar face with me, Danielle Katz, who's behind Rivers for Change. Their whole mission is basically to, through adventure, education, and conservation, help change the way that people interact with water. I'm also thrilled to announce that Rivers for Change is June's nonprofit partner, which means 20% of sales from aluminumcollect.com will be donated to support their mission. Excited to learn more about their impact and what the community collection means to them. Danielle, thanks for being on the show again.
Hey, thanks so much for having me back, Jeremy. It's wonderful to be here.
Yes, yes. I'm excited how the first episode connection kind of built into this relationship, and obviously excited for the partnership this month. But before we get into that, for those who might not have heard the first episode, what is your background and kind of how does that lead into Rivers for Change and everything you're doing there?
Yeah, so I was very lucky to grow up on rivers as like a river rat. My dad owned a whitewater rafting company. So my first immersion into the river world was at like 4 months old and became a river guide and all these wonderful things, spent summers and summers on rivers. And then in 2009, I paddled Source to Sea down the Mississippi River. And that really changed my perspective of how we interact with rivers and thinking more broadly about what I like to call source to sea literacy and how we're all connected. And so after that, that sort of inspired me to co-found this nonprofit, Rivers for Change, and really marry this adventure with conservation.
Yeah, so you were literally kind of thrown on the river at a young age, and obviously that I would say blossom, but I guess more flowed from there. that kind of experience doing the Mississippi, I think you said, was, how did you see those, I guess, connections where you could take that experience and kind of make a broader kind of impact and raise a broader awareness kind of through what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, that campaign was just so eye-opening in understanding better the way that like I related to water in my life and how I didn't relate to water in my life, or how I didn't understand how water played a role. And, you know, when you're out for 3.5 months, you're very aware of where your water is coming from at every moment along the way, either pushing you downstream or when you're cooking or your usage of the water, you know, and you come back and you turn on a faucet and you're like, oh, a faucet, like water magically appears. How does this happen? Where is it coming from? Where is it going? You know, and then actually doing the adventure of it and realizing how excited people get and how inspired people get, you know, by these huge adventures. Being out there and saying, wow, maybe we can use these adventures as sort of a catalyst to get people more involved with conservation aspects along their rivers. So using that sort of sexy adventure storytelling to engage more communities. And then because you're actually, you know, moving downstream, you're able to connect community by community and really say, hey, I just came from this community upstream. Are you aware they're upstream of you and what they're doing and how are they connected to you downstream? So it all just sort of came together in this wonderful holistic bubble of adventure and conservation.
That's awesome. So that kind of all, made sense to you, of course, as it came to you in that sense. So once that kind of idea was realized, you know, what was the first step? Like once like Rivers for Change was actually like official of like, what was that first trip? What were some of those first interactions and kind of, the reception, I guess, you were having from those different communities?
Yeah. I mean, early on, our first campaign that we launched our first year was rather ambitious. It was to do 12 source to seas, 12 critical California rivers from source to sea in 2012. And so we reached out to all these other nonprofit partners who are working on each individual river, because we're not specifically based in a particular watershed. So we'll like go into a river that's has a particular threat or needs more awareness brought to it or needs an advocacy campaign behind it. So we sort of sought out what those 12 rivers in California were that first year, found those local nonprofits to partner with, and people were like, what are you doing? This is a highly ambitious campaign for a first year undertaking. And I think we ended up completing about nine, and some of that had to do with water levels. Like a whole section of one river was completely dry on the San Joaquin, and I returned like 2 years later to walk that, you know, dry riverbed, so to speak. But it was, it was just, people loved the idea. And a lot of our partners were like, we work in this river, but our constituents aren't going out and recreating on the river. They're not connecting to the river. So by doing a cleanup or by doing a community paddle day, you know, all of a sudden they had a means to connect their constituents more to the river and see the river that they're actually, you know, donating to protect or working to conserve. And so it was really nice to be able to bring that together and inspire other organizations to then sort of carry on some of that, you know, adventure work.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'll say, yes, 12 was ambitious, but getting 9, that's pretty impressive still. So don't feel too bad about that for the first go around. But so essentially, you know, you were going there, obviously finding the nonprofits that were already in those locations and those watersheds. And then kind of, in a sense, bringing an event, an adventure event, whether, like you said, cleanup, paddle, whatnot, to them, that it sounds like they really weren't making those connections with their community prior to that, at least, which I think is probably very important, because, you know, you drive and see a stream or something, or a river or whatnot. You don't really think about those things, but those kind of brings it together. So that's really interesting. So I guess what was kind of the next step from that, I guess, after that first year of kind of understanding, what that whole process is, working with the nonprofits that are there, and then also, you know, coordinating events and everything like that. What was kind of the progressions after that?
Yeah, so we decided not to do, 12 in a year the following year. So we scaled back a little bit, and we actually founded an ultramarathon paddle race on California's biggest river, the Sacramento River. And so that ended up being a big fundraiser for us and bringing a lot of paddlers from the Bay Area connecting to, this river that actually plays a vital role within their state and within their community. So we focused a little bit on that for a while, but continued to do several source to seas, each year over the last decade. So we've been involved now, I think, with about 25 different source to seas.
Wow.
During our time, whether that's us going out and actually, doing it ourselves or sending a team of athletes out, or supporting people with our micro grant program. And that's something that I think we'll jump into a little bit more, because that's what the sale of these shirts is actually going to support directly.
Absolutely. So before we get into the micro grant program, so out of those 25 that you've done, is there, obviously lots of, or many different places, is there kind of like, I guess, are there any numbers that you can tie to that, as far as, you mentioned cleanups and different activities as far as, along those journeys, those trips, those adventures, kind of what is that number, or some of those numbers that you might be able to share?
Yeah. I mean, I think, I don't have the exact numbers of how many people reached, or, but each trip we do, we try to do you know, a cleanup trip along the way. We try to do a community paddle along the way. You know, often there'll be like a postcard writing event. You know, last year we were involved with the Grand Salmon Source to Sea. We had 13 events, you know, along the course of that 3-month journey. So it really depends too on the scale of the trip. You know, is it a 2-week trip and there's only time for, you know, one or two actual events while you're traveling down the river? You know, or is there room for more along a longer campaign and a longer river?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, even to your point, you know, maybe not having those specific numbers, but when you kind of multiply those out to the different stops along the way and all that stuff, that footprint, that impact, you know, starts to expand that way. And then creates kind of a ripple effect within the community, as you mentioned before, whether that's the nonprofits that you're working with kind of an initiative or the community members as well. So,
yeah. And one of the things that's been really cool over the last decade is actually to see how much, you know, more nonprofits are engaging in adventure, you know, or people are just interested in doing these source to sea trips. And so there's definitely, it's a growing trend.
Yeah. And one thing I'm sorry, I just kind of thought about too, is, you know, a lot of people, you know, looking at the source to sea trips, I feel like when things like that kind of get overlooked, like in our own country, you know what I mean? You know, you're like, oh, I can go X country to go do this. It's all right here in your backyard too. So it kind of probably helps that in general also, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's amazing to just come across projects we're supporting a project, a grantee right now who, you know, we didn't know about her until after she'd actually done her trip, but she walked from her home to the headwaters of the river in her local community, because she just wanted to know where her water comes from and realized, wow, I don't know, and I'm disconnected and I want to learn, you know. And so it's those kind of projects that are so inspiring that people are out there doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you mentioned the grant program. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So this micro grant program is basically to support people who are undertaking their own source to sea campaign, and be that, you know, they're trying to build educational curriculum, they're trying to finish a short film so that they can bring it into schools and communities and get that broader message to a larger audience about the threats or the history of the river, or how much the river has improved through history, all the conservation work that has gone into it, or the critical, you know, things that are happening right now where it's time to make a decision to, like, let's take down this dam, let's increase the salmon populations to this area. And so these micro grants are just little ways to help, you know, the local dirtbagger sort of, you know, fulfill their vision a little bit. And then because we have so much experience in, you know, source to seas, it's great to sort of create a mentor, mentee relationship as well with these grantees.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's kind of like a, almost like a mini like ambassador program almost, you know, because they obviously have the know-how to document that in whichever way is good. You know, you're talking about curriculum and videos and documentaries and everything like that, but to share that, because that just amplifies, yeah, sure, it's one person, you know, going down the river or whatever people think, but really what the information they're getting and sharing and all like that is being shared out to hundreds and thousands of people, which obviously makes a large impact that way.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, social media has been a game changer. You know, when I did the Mississippi, I was tweeting, you know, along the way and probably had like 100 followers. And I think, you know, the Grand Salmon campaign, I think we reached over 300,000 people with that campaign through social media. So it does, it just amplifies and people go, hey, check out this cool trip and what these people are doing. And it's really that inspiration, I think, that is, you know, like at the core of being like, wow, someone else is doing this, maybe I can do this, or I didn't even know this was possible. Like, it just changes the thinking around water and rivers.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, somebody, you know, they could be doing it in California, but somebody in Virginia sees it like, well, why can't I do that over here on the East Coast, and, you know, or the middle of the country, or wherever they're at, which like you said, that it's that amplification, that ripple effect that it creates, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
So besides kind of the micro grant aspect of it, what else is there anything else kind of on the horizon, I guess, for 2023 as far as different initiatives or kind of goals that you all want to do?
Yeah, 2023 we're actually taking as a bit of a planning year. 2024, we're a pretty small nonprofit. So 2022 was just huge on with this Grand Salmon campaign. That was year and a half in the planning, 3 months in the field, follow-up, et cetera, et cetera. So it takes a while to plan these sorts of things. I mean, you sort of said, well, you can just go out and do one, but if you want to amplify the impact,
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of logistics, there's a lot of partnership building, there's a lot of, every sponsorship and fundraising and all these things that, you know, there's a lot of Excel spreadsheets go into planning. Source the sea, much to the chagrin of many of the paddlers. So, so we're very much in a planning stage right now, and we have a few really exciting partnerships sort of underway that we're not ready to fully divulge yet, but they're in the works. But it's really targeting some rivers that are critically threatened and have a very timely campaign around them to amplify awareness and engagement around those campaigns. And then the other program that we do is a Source to Sea School for kids. And so it's sort of like a camp where we send out kids to do maybe not be on the river the entire length, but they'll go in at, you know, specific locations from source to sea along a river. And so we're really working on scaling that program to some other areas. And then you talked about ambassadors, and the grantees are sort of ambassadors in a way, but we're also working on how to scale our ambassador program, where people are like, hey, I want to do a source to sea, or I want to just paddle for a purpose and do a fundraising campaign for Rivers for Change and turn my, you know, adventure into a more purposeful mission. Or I want to hold a cleanup in my, you know, local watershed, but different ways of engaging more with this source to sea literacy and this way of understanding how these drops of water play a role in our lives.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Minus the spreadsheets, I know that can get a little daunting, at least for me. but there's definitely some exciting plans, and I like the the kids camp program or with the Source to Sea there. I mean, you know, you're starting with the youth. Obviously, you know, we all get older, and then they help influence the next graduate or the next generation, and so on and so forth. But kind of laying that foundation and getting those important, meaningful experiences, not only, you know, as you mentioned, the ambassadors making their adventures more meaningful, but, you know, when you're getting the kids to do that as well and understand that, you know, that just helps, you know, long-term for everything.
Yeah. And I mean, I could go down a whole rabbit hole of how disconnected youth is from nature and, you know, technology and everything. But I mean, I think the community understands that. So the more chance to get, kids and underserved populations really connected to nature in any form is just critical work right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, you mentioned kind of along the journey, you know, obviously working with other nonprofits, you know, fundraising for different things. So obviously, you know, a community means a lot to you and support your mission and help your reach and kind of everything that you're doing. So, what does something like the community collection mean to you all as far as helping kind of fulfill that mission?
Yeah, I mean, we are all about collaboration. So we are like so excited to be partnering with you guys, creating a bigger reach really to audiences that we might not be able to connect to. You know, we tend to be a little paddler kayaker focused. But we really want to amplify this, again, the source to see thinking about how water plays a role in your life, whether you're a biker or a walker or a swimmer or, you know, a gardener or, you know, just a person on the planet using water. We all use water. We're, you know, mostly water. So a partnership like this is just huge, and it really can help amplify our message, reach wider audiences, and then, you know, obviously the support to the organization just means so much.
Absolutely. And we're excited to partner with you on that aspect. And I think it was when I interviewed you, however long that was ago, I think you said something about, where did something about a shower. What did you say?
Oh, what river do you shower in?
That one. And it's so kind of like sticks with me, however a year ago or half a year ago, however long ago that was. And so we're really excited to kind of help kind of spread that message in that sense as well, for what you're doing. So, that's exciting. So where can people find, you online to see what you're into or up to, see how they can get involved, and kind of get some inspiration, like you said, for their own local area, if they're not close.
Yeah. So everything's, at riversforchange.org online, and then Instagram, Facebook, at Rivers for Change.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate all that you're doing. I'm really excited for this collection. And I wish you all the best of luck for the rest of 2023.
Thank you so much, Jeremy.
Thanks for listening. And hey, if you made it this far and like what you've heard, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and let your friends know about Life in Motion. Until next time.